Let's do this.
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people.
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We'll talk some Packers coaching search and what the Matt LaFleur era could bring differently than the Mike McCarthy one. Michelle Bruton, Packers Wire, will join us coming up at 9:35. She was also in that kicking contest this weekend. Goose Island Brewing in Chicago held that kicking contest in the snow where they had 100 people try to kick a field goal for 43 yards like the one Cody Parkey missed. Nobody made it.
So could you just come down there, or do you have to sign up for a contest?
You had to like sign up the day of and then come down there, and nobody made the field goal. What they did was they put you 43 yards away. They had goalposts, and they put you in the middle of a street. And then they put up this little fence to act as the defensive line, and that's where people could stand. And I was watching video of it. I mean, a lot of people didn't even get over the fence.
See, I would have guessed some like soccer kid would have went down there, or some high school kicker, and done that.
And there were a couple that might have had the distance, but they went either left or right.
Yeah.
So nobody made it. A lot of people, because it was snowing, ended up falling. There was one guy like policing the thing. Who actually got kicked in the nuts.
Oh.
Because he was, you know, he's like...
Was he holding the ball or what?
Well, no, but he was right off the side. He's right off the side, and the guy who kicked it was so bad, he kicked it like immediately to his left, and it hit the guy right in the junk.
Jeez.
So she was in that. We'll touch on that a little bit with her, but she wrote an article about Matt LaFleur before Matt LaFleur got hired, and she's kind of been in tune with that. So we'll get her thoughts on the hire and her thoughts on where the Packers go from here coming up at 9:35. We were talking about our favorite Pfizer Forum memories, not Bradley Center, Pfizer Forum. If you don't believe us, the podcast will be up here in a little bit. When Chuck told us that he almost got kicked out at the Marquette game Saturday, and Chuck, I'd like to hear more about that, please.
Yeah, I was not going to bring the story up, but since we're talking about the Pfizer Forum, or Pfizer Forum, going to do that. I was, you know, I got tickets for the game on Saturday afternoon. So we're up in section 213, upper deck, and we came in, and you know, we got there, we were walking around like after the national anthem, we were gonna go sit in our seats, but the game was about ready to tip off, and there are people sitting in our seats like a row below us off to the left already. So instead of like going down there, the row behind them was wide open. There was nobody sitting there. So we took those three seats, okay? And we took three seats. But it so happens, after we sat down, three people moved in next to us, and they had the seats that we just sat in, okay? So we just moved down three more. Again, there was many seats available right next to me. So we just moved down. So we're the only ones sitting in this row. So the usher sees this, and she goes, "You're not sitting in those seats." I could barely hear her, because she's trying to yell from where you first come in. And I said, "Well, we're just going to move down there. We're down a row. Somebody's in our seats, and we're going to just move down there, you know, during a timeout, during the, you know, under 16.
So someone's in your seats.
Somebody's in our seats.
And rather than do the whole scene,
we're going to wait during a timeout."
Okay.
So I said, "We'll wait, you know," and she was like shaking her head or whatever. And then she passes me a white card. Passes it down to me, gives me a white card. And I'm like, "A white card?" I think she's like giving me a voucher for something, for, you know, being a nice guy and not causing a, you know, going down there and moving in, because I'm sitting in the seats. She gives me this card. It's called a warning card. "You are being issued a warning."
You have it on you?
I got it right here.
Oh, cool.
"You are being issued a warning that the comments, gestures, or behaviors that you have directed at players, coaches, and game officials or other spectators constitute excessive verbal abuse." And I'm like, "What?" And I don't have my glasses here, so I don't read the card. I get the card, and what happened was, her supervisor ended up coming during a break. And I said, "Oh, we're just going to move down to our seats right here."
Okay.
"We were going to move down," and she goes, "Oh," he goes, "Oh, okay." He goes, "Yeah, because you can't sit." He says, I said, "That's fine." So we're going to move down to our seats, and Shannon says, "Let's just go up to the panoramic deck anyway. I'd rather sit up there." I said, "Okay, well, those people can sit in our seats. We'll just go up to the panoramic club." So I get up to the panoramic club, and look at this card I got, this warning card. First of all, the lady is really nasty, all right, very unfriendly. Like, she's, you know, I mean, she's operating a section there, all right? But a little bit of a power trip. So I get up there and I read this card, you know, where it says, you are given a warning that comments, gestures, and behaviors directed towards players. I'm like fuming the whole game. That this woman gave me this card. So I went back, you know, after the game, talked to the supervisor, said, what was this about? Give me one of these white cards? And he said, yeah, you know, she probably shouldn't have given you that, but, you know, we've had problems, people sitting in the wrong seats. And I said, well, I sat in these wrong seats just so those people, we didn't, during the first couple of minutes of the game, you know, we didn't want to interrupt those people. So we just sat down here. We figured we'd straighten it out during the commercial break or during the under 16 timeout. So we just sat here. We know what's the big deal. There's nobody sitting up here. So, yeah. But I mean, I got one of these cards, a warning card. Really? And I said, come on, giving out this warning card was a little excessive. Abusive? Not the least. I didn't say anything. Only time I rose my voice, I put my voice a little louder so I could, you know, shout to her because she was way on the other side that, hey, we're going to move down there. We'll get the straighten out during the timeout. We'll just sit here right now. Nobody's sitting up there. So, yeah, that was it. But, yeah, 213, a little out of power trip there.
What do you think's more likely that? Because I mean,
they give away these cards.
I'm not. To be honest, I'm not surprised by this. So what? And not because of you. Do you think it's more likely that people that work at Fiserv Forum have a bit of a power trip, or do you think that they are being managed in such a way where they? There's a lot of people that work there that are kind of mean that I've run into, and it's like who? What kind of atmosphere is being run here? Now, this is some wild speculation.
Okay.
But I have, there's, people just seem a little meaner at Fiserv than they did at the Bradley Center. And I don't know if management's got them like real tight because it's a shiny new place. And maybe Chuck's incident's isolated and maybe I'm just, you know, way off base here. But I feel like the people at Fiserv Forum were told, do not let people get away with anything at all. And if it's even in question, you give them a white card.
Yes. Now, here's what it is. I've ran into both extremes, I think. I think where people have been mean and people who've just been over the top nice. Like, we're going down the elevator after the game.
Okay.
And like ushers after the Marquette wins, they're giving you high fives and stuff like that. It's like, that'd be great. But it's like people are either overly nice. Oh, welcome to the Fiserv Forum. Oh, you know, everybody's really nice. Or the other extreme, which I experienced on Saturday. There's got to be a happy medium. You know? But, I mean, this woman, oh, man, she's tough. Whew. Wow. And I'm never going to get tickets in that section ever again. I'm telling you that. 213, never.
Because the time that I got lost in the arena, I went out. Similar to what happened to you, where you went out a door, and then you kind of got stuck. And so I went out this door. I was in this hallway. I didn't understand where I was. Mm-hmm. And I asked the lady, can I go that way? And she goes, no one's supposed to go that way. I go, but it leads me right to where I need to go. I'm sorry, I can't. Okay. Can I go back out this door? Because then the door locks on you.
Mm-hmm.
Can I go back out this door, back to the concourse? I can't let you do that either. But I just came from out that door. You saw me. I do the same thing.
So, if you can't go out this door and that door, you're trapped there for life?
I don't know.
How did you get out?
I had to go outside and come back in like you.
But wouldn't she not let you go out that way? Or she would let you go that way?
I couldn't go down the door.
Okay.
Back under the arena to cover the media stuff. I couldn't go back through the door in which you saw me come out of, which took me to the concourse.
So,
I had to go outside.
Sir, there's only one way to go. Go outside.
Yeah. I don't.
And sub-zero. Thank goodness it was sub-zero out there.
Let's talk to Chuck and Racine. What's up, Chuck?
The two extremes of the Fiserv Forum.
Hey, I just want to say, me and my girlfriend went to the Fiserv for that Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Uh-huh.
We had never been there before. This was our very first time. I was impressed by the outside of it and everything. We got inside. I asked one of the ushers where our seats were because this was our first time. We didn't know. And he looked at me and said, you got eyes. Figure it out. There's signs all over.
He said that to you?
Yep, right to our face. And I just kind of went, oh, I was taken back a little bit and went, oh, okay, and me and my girlfriend, we saw the signs, and we found our own seats, but no help to them.
That's odd because, you know, I mean, whether you've been there one time or a thousand times, they should be, that their job is to help you out.
Very odd.
Yeah.
Well, again, I don't know if these are like certain people or if there's like some strict mandate to not let anybody get away with anything, but
there might be.
Hey, when you see, you know how there's a sign that says if you see problems in the stands, text us to this number. We'll get an usher over.
Sure.
When you guys see problems at Fiserv Forum, you tell us on Chuck and Winkler.
But I get a warning card, which I'm keeping forever.
Yeah, what are you gonna do with that? Frame it with your ticket.
Oh, it was a ticket on a phone. So
I suppose you can't get tickets anymore.
Yeah.
Why don't you keep it every time you go to the Fiserv Forum? If someone's giving you guff, you give it to the usher.
Yeah. Well, how about this? Okay, so I got one of these white cards, a warning card. Okay, but what if I'm elsewhere in the building, and let's say could have caused a legitimate problem, okay, then I'd get a second card, but how would they know that I already didn't get a card?
Yeah, what are they going to frisk you for a card?
I mean, because they don't like
this guy's got a card, he's out. But if he doesn't, yes. You can stay.
He can stay. Check to see if he's got a card already. All right, get against the wall.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins.
Handing out a white card. Come on. Well, whose idea was that?
It obviously affected you, and you're never going to act that way again.
Which is what? Whatever. What? Sit in the wrong seat?
Yeah.
Didn't do anything.
They got to you, man.
Now if I would have been abusive and I would have been screaming, doing one of those deals, then I could see. But I didn't do anything.
It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Hey, we're going to talk to Michelle Bruton, 935. The Taysom Hill tweet that I put out is really picking up steam, where people are like mad at me for being mad that the Packers let this guy go. Brady Papinga has even chimed in.
Well, see, this is where I've given up on reading notifications because you can't.
This is unbelievable.
You can't say it's January outside anymore.
No, it's not January. It's the first month of the year, you idiot.
You can't. I was like, you cannot put anything on Twitter without just somebody jumping on you.
It's actually, this calendar's arbitrary. We should be using the calendars the Mayans made back in 1400 AD.
God, it's too cold to go running outside. What do you mean? I go running outside. You're an idiot. You're soft. You can't run in 14-degree temperatures. Okay.
Well, if there's one thing we can all agree on, Frames, it's the Q Club.
Yeah, the Q Club of Wisconsin, your place to watch all your favorite sports action this winter. Place to get inside out of the cold and enjoy their huge entertainment room, the pool tables, the tornado foosball, the shuffleboard, the electronic darts, the ping pong, and a whole lot more. Now, the public response to the Q Club's new indoor bocce ball has been amazing. You're always going to find friendly customer service at the Q Club. And, you know, you play their indoor bocce ball there that they got there. You can watch all the sports. They had all the football games on this weekend. They'll have them on next weekend as well. And they got the volume going on. And the food there is second to none. The Q Club's got something to please everybody. The awesome burgers, the wings, the appetizers, the award-winning fish fries, both on Wednesday and Friday nights. Yes, those fish fries. Four different styles piled high with all the extras at the Q Club of Wisconsin on Waukesha's Great North Side. You'll find the best of live entertainment as well. If you like live entertainment on weekends, go to their Facebook page, and it'll tell you all the acts that are coming there here in the next several weeks. They got a whole list of people. So go to their Facebook page. It'll tell you all the live entertainment coming to the Q Club of Wisconsin. If you still haven't figured out where you're going to have that company party, well, you can still get in. They got the private rooms there. They got the VIP suite with the luxury pool table. But for all the great food, the indoor sports, the huge entertainment room, and to watch all the games, hey, there's no sports bar like the Q Club of Wisconsin on Waukesha's North Side, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard. It's a half mile south of I-94. It's Highway T in Waukesha. That's the Highway T exit. Go south, and you're there. Visit them online, qclubofwi.com, or on Facebook. The Q Club of Wisconsin, a great sports bar on Waukesha's terrific Great North Side.
Morstead,
it's a fake.
Settles at his 16. The Saints are going to fake it up the middle, and they're going to have enough for a first down. And what a call, Taysom Hill.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Taysom Hill, quarterback at BYU, was a free agent signing, undrafted by the Green Bay Packers. Played some quarterback. Looked pretty good. Packers wanted to keep him, didn't have room for him. Thought maybe we can sneak him through on waivers. Saints say not so fast. Not only are we going to pick him to be a backup quarterback, but we're going to do something crazy. We're going to actually use him on different plays like Wildcat and stuff. And sometimes he'll run it, and sometimes, you know, he might throw. And not only that, we're going to put him on our punt coverage, and he's going to be a gunner. He's going to make tackles, and he, you know, he's a pretty big guy. He's got a body like a linebacker. He's going to do it. And sometimes we're even going to put him as the up back, and we're going to run fakes with him in playoff games and pivotal moments, and we may even use him to throw the best pass of the weekend, a strike to Alvin Kamara, which did not end up counting because of a holding. But there was no better. It was like a textbook spiral. There was no better pass. So I tweeted yesterday, imagine being an NFL team that cut Taysom Hill. And there's a lot of different reaction. There's a lot of like, yeah, I can't believe the Packers did that. Shows the ineptitude of a team, you know, not realizing talent. And that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of people saying, well, they would have never used him like this anyway. Well, okay, that's also the point. That's the problem. And then there's a lot of people that are just honestly upset that I've even pointed this out. DJG Swizzle says, Winks thinks providing moronic takes. Look at his stats. He's not that much of a needle mover in terms of providing value added to the offense. The most overhyped player in the NFL. It's remarkable that people think you provide value to the airwaves.
Well, here's the deal. With
just for pointing out that Taysom Hill... Yeah, look at his stats.
That's what I said.
Look at his stats compared to anybody. What is he? 20 rushes for 200 yards, couple TDs. Look at his impact in a game. Yeah. You guys, so many of you are stat jockeys. That's all you look at is stats. If you watch the games, you'll see the impact that he makes. There's a lot of beyond the box score kind of stuff. But no, you're all like defensive for the Packers because of it. We don't have to agree with everything the Packers have ever done, Chuck.
No, and with Taysom Hill... First of all, those damn notifications again on Twitter. But Taysom Hill, he impacts – every time I see him in the game, he impacts the game somehow, whether it's him or somebody else. But he's another guy the defense has got to account for. And, you know, they bring Taysom Hill in the field. You see the defense. They're a little unsure of themselves. Okay? Yeah. Was he going to lead the Packers to the Super Bowl? No. All right? Was he going to make them a better team this year? Well, he probably, who knows, a couple of plays here and there. Was he going to lead him into the playoffs? No. But he's just another weapon. And they were smart. Sean Payton was smart enough down in New Orleans to think, hey, you know, this guy is an athlete. I can get him on the field and do a few things. I know I have Drew Brees, but, you know, I'm sure, you know, he thought about it and saw he had a guy that, you know, that he eyed up during the preseason when he played for the Packers, that he's a guy that if the Packers were going to cut him, we could take him down here.
I don't get why everyone's so defensive for the Packers' behalf. Like, I don't feel like I'm overrating Taysom Hill. I'm telling you what he is. He's a guy that you want to call it gimmick, you want to call it gadget, fine. Would you rather see that, though, on a third down than a third and one where four guys run 25 yards out and Rodgers has no one to throw to? I mean... I just think the Taysom Hill, if you're going to look back at the last few years, that situation where the Packers had a guy with talent who could have been used in other ways, and they didn't even give it a second thought, and then he goes to a team like the Saints who are relying on those gimmick plays in a playoff game when their back is against the wall. I mean, do they win that game if they don't call that fake punt yesterday? Maybe they don't.
And plus, he's not a bad kick returner either.
No, he provides value to the team.
No, he does.
And if you just want to look at his box score and say, oh, he threw seven passes, well, then that's stupid.
Oh, you could say, well, he only came in the game four plays. Well, okay. But still, he's an impact. If you look at all the times he's played, I bet you most of the plays, if you put up clips, he impacts a play. Something special happens on that play. There's something positive happens. All right? Yeah, you know, it's not going to work every time, but yeah, I see him, and yeah, would he be like could he come in the game right now and carry the Saints into the Super Bowl and win that game if he had a start next week? Probably not, but still, as a gimmick here
but
and there.
That's not what he's there for.
Yeah, no, he's not there for that.
I'm not asking that the Packers would have played him over Aaron Rodgers as their starting quarterback.
Yeah, and people will say too, well, geez, you want to take Aaron out of the game? Well, maybe this year, and the way he saw this past year, wasn't very good, but still. If Drew Brees is going to come out of the game and for Taysom Hill for a couple of gimmicks, obviously he's impacting the game.
Let's give Brady Papinga the last word. Brady Papinga, the former Packer linebacker, tweeting in response to this tweet. He says, it's absolutely embarrassing that it was the Packers that were the team that cut Taysom Hill. I talked to one of their head scouts after it happened, and he was so defensive about the decision. Well, looks like somebody's got egg on their face. And that's a problem. If you make the wrong decision, you make the wrong decision. Mm-hmm. Trying to rewrite history or trying to belittle his value with the Saints because you made the wrong decision in the Packers is already dumb. And as a fan, you don't have to do it for them, is what I'm saying. You don't have to defend the Packers' bad decisions for them.
I mean, the Packers spotted him initially and brought him in as an undrafted free agent a couple of years ago. I mean, credit them for at least bringing him in. There's a guy from, BYU?
BYU. Him BYU. And Jamal Williams played together.
Yes, from BYU. They brought him and then, you know, we saw him, a few things he could do and how athletic he was. But they obviously didn't think his value, he brought any value to the team, so they cut him. And, you know, he's found a way to get things done in many different ways in New Orleans. But, yeah, I think that I would have liked to see him stick around. Yeah, I think he would have been a fan favorite, too.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We'll talk more Packers with Michelle Bruton, who will join us next. Packers Wire Bleacher Report, among others. We will be, hopefully, joining you guys at Perkins over the next few weeks because Bart's Breakfast Bonanza is 1 week away. I've got a breakfast again at Perkins. Problem is, I don't know what it is yet because you guys are going to have to vote on it. So starting on Wednesday, there'll be some options to vote on the Twitter account at 105.7FM, The Fan. It'll either be the breakfast that it was previous, the 3 eggs, 4 pancakes, hash browns, and bacon. It could be a biscuits with sausage option, or a fried chicken filet biscuit option. We'll have those different options for you in detail on our Twitter account starting on Wednesday at 105.7FM, The Fan. So that's coming up. Today is a Pie Society Monday. Pie Society Monday, where you get a free slice of pie after 11 o'clock. You get a meal, and then whatever you get a free slice of pie with that. That's after 11. Maybe look at their steak menu. A lot of good items involving steak. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins right here on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. 105.7 FM, The Fan on the FM, 1250 on the AM, radio.com app all over the world. Talking some Packers, still defending my Taysom Hill take, which is no more than the guy's a decent football player. Anyway, Michelle Bruton joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. You can find her work at the Bleacher Report, the Packers Wire, among other places. She missed a field goal this weekend, too, which we'll talk about momentarily. But Michelle, I think it was last week or a week and a half ago, you were trying to look at some of these candidates, and you looked at Matt LaFleur, and you were like, the one person that had even written an article at all anywhere that could connect the Packers to Matt LaFleur. So now that we've seen him, now that we've heard from him sort of in that press conference, do you think that the Packers made the right hire with him, or should they? Because some people, it seems like maybe this search ended too quickly, but I guess we won't know for a while. How do you view this hire from the Green Bay Packers?
Well, first of all, I just have to say that if anyone needs some lottery numbers, feel free to hit me up on Twitter, because clearly I'm your gal.
Yeah, it was good foresight there by you.
Right. I think that, you know, obviously we all saw in the press conference that LaFleur was a little bit nervous. I think that was pretty clear. And you know what? I think that's okay. I think that this is a really huge role that he's taken on. It's his first head coaching gig. It's only his second gig calling plays. And I think that maybe you'd rather see him be nervous than see him sort of speaking in coach speak and kind of assuming that coach persona. I think that shows that he really cares and he really wants to do a good job. I think that you're right. Some people were really put off by the fact that there were no second round interviews done, that basically the team met, which included Russ Ball, Mark Murphy, Brian Gutekunst, a committee of players, including Aaron Rodgers, who kind of weighed in on the process. And after the first round, they just decided that LaFleur was their guy, for better or worse. I think that now what's sort of giving some people pause or frustrating some people, even those who are really on board with Matt LaFleur, is that putting together his staff isn't quite going very well. He's losing a lot of potential candidates to other teams, and so I think that people would really now like to see him put together a solid assistant staff.
Yeah, I mean, at what point, though, I mean, I'm not too concerned about it, but at what point, I mean, I think these championship games coming up this weekend, or even maybe after this past week with all these playoff teams, he maybe he was eyeing somebody above their staffs. But, I mean, he tried to go to San Francisco, and what can he do if San Francisco is not allowing you to take any guys off his staff?
Right, exactly. And I think one rule that I'm not sure a lot of listeners are familiar with is if you're trying to interview coaches who are on a staff of a team that has progressed past the divisional round, you can't request any interviews. You have to wait until they're done, until they're out of the postseason. So, you know, that limits a lot of potential candidates you could go after. I think 49ers, what could you do? You're totally right. I think the one that really stings for a lot of people is Todd Monken, who the Packers actually also interviewed for a head coaching job, interviewed with Matt LaFleur for the offensive coordinator position, and he ended up going to the Browns to be their offensive coordinator. And I think a lot of people felt like that was a big loss, and, you know, why couldn't Matt LaFleur convince him to come to Green Bay, whereas the Browns are assembling this all-star staff, honestly. They have some really good coaches in place.
Michelle Bruton joining us here, Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. With some of these other coaches that are leaving, I mean, James Capen also going to Cleveland. Mm-hmm. You have these guys that have been with McCarthy for a long time. Is it the right move by LaFleur to let some of those guys go, even if, like, Rodgers is friend, like, legitimate friends with James Capen? Would you rather he try to build his own staff or keep some of these guys that were there previously?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a really delicate thing, and I think only someone like Matt LaFleur knows sort of the environment he wants to work in. Of all of the assistants, though, James Capen was sort of the one I thought he would keep, because the line has done pretty well under him. Like you said, he's close with Aaron Rodgers. The line is going to be so crucial to that team's success this year. And obviously he's been around. You want to keep someone who's been around the team, knows the locker room, knows the players, and I thought Capen would be the one. Some of the other assistants that they've let go or lost, you know, that sort of made sense to me. I think that obviously anyone who comes in wants to hire his own guys. But Campbell surprised me, to be honest.
Are you looking at a team right now, maybe the Cleveland Browns, as a team that maybe you got to keep your eye on, and maybe it's a growing team, a team that's on the rise?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds a little crazy, right? I think until they start winning, anytime sure. anyone's picking the Browns, you're going to get some chuckles. But yeah, they've really got, I think, like I said, Todd Monken is a really, really smart offensive coordinator. He did great things with the Bucs. And obviously they've got so much talent, finally. And I think that, you know, we saw kind of on Hard Knocks how much dysfunction there was in that locker room and with the coaching staff before. So I think that's a team that, listen, I don't think they're going to win the division or anything this year, but, you know, they're doing all the right things, and they're building all the right pieces. So definitely in the next couple of years, they're going to be sort of a contender that we've never seen from them before.
I think with a team like the Browns, too, you can tell that they are improving. You can tell that whether it's the coaching staff or Baker Mayfield or some of the moves they've made, they seem to not only just be improving, but also a desire to improve. And I don't know, as we talked to Michelle Bruton here, Bleacher Report, Packers Wire, among other places, as we talk to you, I don't know if people get that same vibe from the Packers just because of this weird period of transition they're in. They do have their coach now. You've got your franchise quarterback. There are a lot of holes that need to be filled. As we start to try to see what moves they will make in the coming weeks, where are the main areas of concern that you'd like to see the Packers maybe address? Because there's a lot. So if they can only address a few, what are the most important areas for them to make sure that they can be in the same breath as, like, the Browns again, even?
Right. So I think the really fun thing now for both fans and writers alike is that we can expect the Packers to participate in free agency, which we never really could under Thompson. And so whether it's your free agency or the draft, I think everyone can agree that the two glaring needs personnel-wise are a legitimate pass rusher and some guard help, because that offensive line really needs. I mean, it was just a few years ago that they had all-pro best guard tandem in the league, and now that's one of their weaknesses. And if you're going to be a team like the Packers that's always contending, you can't let your strengths become weaknesses. And so they certainly did that on offensive line. This draft, the other thing, too, is obviously Jimmy Graham. They could, you know, he has two more years left on his deal. They would incur about $7 million in dead money if they cut him. So it looks like they're going to give him another chance this year. He did have that broken thumb, but there's a lot of tight end talent in the draft this year. And so I'd really like to see the Packers draft kind of the tight end of the future and start developing him this year as well. I think that could really help this offense and some of the things that LaFleur is going to want to do play calling wise.
Yeah, after the way Jimmy Graham worked out and Martellus Bennett before him, I think Packer fans are just kind of hoping they don't go there in tight end anymore. They just kind of maybe draft the tight end and not go the free agent route because the last two haven't worked
exactly.
out too well.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, even Kendrick. I mean, Lance Kendricks. I mean, some of these other guys have. I mean, Mercedes Lewis. I mean, none of these guys have worked out. And you would think a nice athletic tight end, they've been wanting that forever since JaMychal Finley left, that they've wanted that forever with the, to help out Aaron Rodgers.
Right, and I think, you know, part of the thorn in their side for really since 2011 has been that they just haven't had a championship caliber defense. And so we've seen in the draft, you know, when everyone else has been getting these impact tight ends, we've seen, you know, O.J. Howard, guys like that, we've seen that the Packers have continually been spending all their high picks on secondary defensive line. And I think, you know, unfortunately, with all those picks kind of committed, they still don't really have the defense where they need it to be, and it's so frustrating because you would love to see them have the defense set so that this is the type of year where they could spend a high draft pick on a guard or a tight end or some of those other positions they've kind of been, you know, not focusing on in the draft.
Michelle Bruton, before we let you go, I did want to ask you about your experience this weekend. You were one of the 100 people that kicked in this Goose Island competition to see if you could replicate the kick that Cody Parkey missed. Did you, so you signed up that day? How did that work?
So I was there as media, so thankfully I didn't have to kind of...
Oh, good. They let you in. We took the media bypass roads, which is awesome.
Yeah, guys, listen, that's the best part of being media. They capped it at 100 because so many people showed up. People came and camped out with, like, folding chairs at, like, 7 a.m., to register, and so they had to cap it at 100, otherwise it would have gone on all day, and as you saw from the videos, the conditions were really bad. It was snowing. So they had a few media members kick as well, and, you know, I talked to some high school kickers. I got a few pointers. I thought that I had the form down, but I think the problem is, like, listen, I'm 5'4". I've never really played sports, you know, those who can't do right, I guess, in my case. I don't think I really had the power, you know. I don't think I quite got under the ball enough. So my ball didn't even clear the metal fence that they had erected, sadly.
Were you just hoping not to break your foot? Because that's how I'd
be. Pretty much. You know, what I was hoping, seeing so many people wipe out and fall on their butts, I was just hoping not to slip and fall. Yeah. So I made contact with the ball. I didn't fall on my butt. That's a win in my book.
Did anyone come close? I saw some videos where maybe they got distance but not accuracy.
Exactly. There was some distance and not accuracy, and there was one guy who was dead on, but he didn't quite have the distance. So close, and if the conditions were better, maybe someone would have made it, but it's a lot harder than you'd think. And there were a lot of guys there who were like high school rugby, soccer, football players too, so not just total drunk fans.
Interesting stuff. Michelle, appreciate some time. We'll be in touch down the road.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Michelle Bruton joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. You can follow her at her name, Michelle Bruton, B-R-U-T-O-N, on Twitter. Again, Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935. So she is writing about that experience, and good for her, because, you know, if you wanted to sign up into that contest, you have to sign up and be one of the first 100. But being in the media, she was able to still do the thing without having to wait. Just like Chuck Freeman, when he goes to the Fiserv Forum as a member of the media, there's no problem. When he sits in the stands, he gets the warning card.
You get the warning card, yes.
Always take the media route.
I'm going to take the warning. I'm going to frame this warning card. Wait, I can't even find it. I had it here. Did you take it? My warning card is gone. Oh, here it is in my back pocket.
Could you read it again for those joining us?
Got a warning card because I was sitting in the wrong seats.
At the Fiserv Forum Saturday.
Was sitting in the wrong seats on Saturday, and because somebody was sitting in my seats, I didn't want to do it with game action going on. So this usher in 213, this lady, gave me the warning card. It says, I mean, among other things, here it starts off, it says, warning card. You are being issued a warning that the comments, gestures, or behaviors that you have directed at players, coaches, game officials, and other spectators constitute excessive verbal abuse and are in violation of fan code conduct. Verbal abuse? My God. And I told the supervisor, said, verbal abuse, come on.
You didn't get what you... You didn't deserve the warning card for the verbal abuse, but then when you were given the card, you
if anything, she
you
was verbal abusing verbal me. Yeah, well, I'll never sit in 213 again. I'm Chuck Freeman. Never go in the upper deck again.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries.
I mean, really. I mean, if you're just like, if you get that, it's just like, man, really? This is how you treat people? Back off a little bit.
I thought I was
doing her a favor by sitting in these empty seats just so I, you know, disturb a whole row of people for people who are sitting actually in my seat.
We've also decided if you ever run into an issue at the Fiserv Forum, you contact us.
Yes.
On Chuck and Winkler. We will be the liaisons between you and some of their overeager staff.
Yes. I think we've learned they're either really, 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 really nice or just meaner than a snake.
Meaner than a snake.
Yes.
It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. We've had some warm weather this January. It is getting a little colder this weekend. I think, actually, it might feel like wintertime. Yeah, lows into single digits. We've been pretty lucky so far, but the cold weather is coming, and it's coming soon. So make sure you're prepared with a remote car starter from Sound Decisions. These guys are pros when it comes to car audio systems. They sell more remote car starters than anybody else, and it's really easy to get it done. It took me less than 2 hours, just hung out in the waiting area. There's a coffee shop nearby. You can have somebody, you know, you can run around town and whatever you do when you're waiting for something. But if you need to hang out there, you certainly can. They'll get it done as soon as possible. Show you how it's done. You just press a button on your keychain. You can even do it from your phone with some of these models. They've got all the top brands. They'll help you out. Sound Decisions, helping you get some warmth this winter with that remote car starter. Start it before you leave to work. Start it before you go home from work. Start it on the weekends when you're out and about so you don't have to be cold that long in these Wisconsin winters. Sound Decisions, 262-633-8300. Get yourself started on the remote car starter system for your car. You can check them out on Facebook or the website brightpinkmailbox.com. Chris will tell you the backstory when you get there. brightpinkmailbox.com for a peace of mind and warm and toasty car this winter. Check out a remote car starter from Sound Decision.
First down, they're going to bring it on an end around. Tyreek Hill gets a block, 35, 30, jet speed, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, snowshoes, touchdown, Kansas City. The cheetah can run in the snow, a 36-yard end around, and the Chiefs, two touchdowns on their first two possessions.
Chuck and Winkler, I'm Bart. That's Chuck. Cody Grant, our producer. I'll be honest, being a little selfish here and playing that highlight because it's the only game that I got right. This weekend, another bad weekend. I took the Cowboys, I took the Saints, I took the Chargers, and I just had the Chiefs. What I have is that I owe Chuck right now $150, and Cody, I owe you $50.
You're right.
What about you guys between each other?
We're even.
So what did I go this week? I went 2-2, Rhodes?
You went 2-2, yes. Bart went 1-3, and I went 2-2.
Yeah. I think the one I really thought I was going to win, the best one I liked the Chargers.
You know, the worst part about this was the most confident game I was in was Indiana.
I couldn't believe, why did people love the Colts so much? I didn't understand it.
Because I expected them to score on Kansas City's defense.
I couldn't believe how many smart people great. Were talking themselves. It was like people talked themselves into it, and yet I'm the guy that took the Chargers, so what the hell am I saying?
Yeah, I mean, but thing is, there's no, you know, gambling, obviously, there's no sure thing. Who knows how any of these were going to turn out?
Will Lutz should have made that field goal. I'd have covered the Saints, no problem. And then Alvin Kamara almost broke it
he
free.
Did.
He did.
Tackle him. I was like, yeah, all good. I was worried for, you know, how many times have we all been burned on a pick six the other way, a meaningless touchdown? I thought maybe that was going to happen when, you know, when they're driving. I was like, just don't throw a pick six. And he threw an interception, but at least they didn't return it.
We'll do our bets for the weekend game Friday. Two of them, of course. Early line, Saints are favored at home, 3.5. Chiefs are favored at home, 3. You guys have any reads on these yet?
I think I saw somewhere this is the first time the Patriots have been an underdog in an AFC championship game.
That would sound right.
Something like that,
or at least in many, many years.
Yeah.
Well, they're on the road. It's the first time the Chiefs are going to host one.
Yeah.
I like the home favorites. I you don't bet against the Patriots, but right now I do, as always, well, like the home favorites.
I think I'm taking the Patriots for sure. I'll just throw that out there.
But, like the New Orleans game on Sunday. I mean, after they had blown out Philly the first time, it was like, they're not going to do it again, are they? And they didn't. They had to come from behind. I mean, Philadelphia, man, they score the quick 14 points, and you're figuring that they're going to, go on and win. How disappointing the final three quarters were. But as these games this weekend, man, I would say the home team right now. Doesn't the home team usually win the NFC or the conference championship games?
Well, I tell you, when they did win the championship game was in 2014, when the Seahawks beat the Packers.
Sure.
Also in 2016, when the Falcons beat the Packers. I'll tell you when they didn't win was when the Giants beat the Packers at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, yeah. 2007.
The Bears lost to the Packers in 2010,
yep.
So that was a roadie.
2007, the Packers were a 7-point favorite, and that looked to be easy money.
Damn.
And look what happened.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We're back tomorrow. Aaron Nagler will join us at 8. Gary Wolfel at 8:20, and much more along the way. We'll talk to you then. Bill Michaels up next on The Fan.